to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 19. Book of Acts, chapter 19. We'll read verse 20. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Paul, at the end of his second missionary journey, visited the city of Ephesus. This is recorded in chapter 18, verses 18 through verse 21. Before he left Ephesus, he made known his desire and intent to return to that city. We see that in chapter 18, verse 21, toward the end of the verse there, he says, "But I will return again unto you, if God will." And he sailed from Ephesus. And he did return during his third missionary journey. We read of that here in Acts 19 and verse 1, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples." We learn from Acts chapter 20, verse 31, that Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus. Ephesus was a very wealthy city, very impressive city. It was famous for its exorbitant temple for the pagan goddess Diana. The city was basically the hub of commerce in Asia and was connected to all the major roads of the cities of Asia. Its harbor accommodated the largest ships of that day. Merchants would come from all the provinces of Rome and would flock to Ephesus. In addition to being a hub for business, it was also a hub for pagan worship. Again, there was that temple there, the temple of Diana. Measured 345 feet by 164 feet, had a flight of 14 steps with over 100 columns, about 60 feet high. Very impressive structure. In the inner shrine of that temple was the image of the goddess Diana, which was the symbol of fertility. We learn from Acts 19, verse 35, that it was claimed that she had fallen from heaven. We see that with the worship of Diana, not only was there idolatry, but there was great immorality. Businessmen and merchants would flock into the temple of Diana for the purpose of having their sexual fantasies fulfilled. The temple would be attended by numerous priests and slaves and thousands of priestesses who were basically ritual prostitutes. And all of this played a major role in the worship of Diana. So the city of Ephesus was a very wicked, very evil city. Paul is now back there for the second time. This time he'll stay for again 3 years. Upon his arrival, and we read of what happened in Ephesus here in chapter 19, and we also see it in Acts chapter 19 and also Acts chapter 20. But upon his arrival this second time, he encountered some disciples, about 12, who were not scripturally baptized And he baptized them. We read that in verses 1 through verse 7. As his custom was, when he went into a city, he entered in the synagogue. And he would preach in the synagogue. And in this case, he did it for 3 months. We see in verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. The result of the teaching in the synagogue is recorded in verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, they began to speak evil of that way, the way that Paul preached before the multitude. He departed from them. Paul departed from that synagogue, separated his disciples, or separated the disciples, gathered them together. And now he went to the school of one called Tyrannus. We read in verse 10 that he would continue there for 2 years. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. The result of his teaching and preaching in the school of Tyrannus, the end result is recorded in verse 18 and verse 19. And many that believed there in the city of Ephesus came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So the result of this preaching in the school of Tyrannus is that people believed. They were saved. They made public confessions of faith. And they demonstrated their faith by their actions. And they began to clean their houses. And they began to clean their lives from everything that dishonored God. And they began to burn those books about magic and witchcraft and sorcery. The people were witnessing. The people in that city were now witnessing the power of God. The power of God was changing lives, changing the lives of others right before their eyes. And all of this would have an enormous impact upon the entire city. Known witches, known sorcerers were burning their occult books. And this was a powerful testimony. This was a powerful testimony to the word of God. And that's why we read verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. This is testimony that the word of God was prevailing over the darkness of sin in the city of Ephesus. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That was true then of this city of Ephesus. But we want to apply those words tonight to you and I individually. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Oh, that it might be in us. What took place in Ephesus. That the word of God would be mighty in our hearts, growing and prevailing. And that is what we want to speak on this evening, the mighty, growing, prevailing word of God. But again, we want to make application to you and I as individuals. First of all, consider those words, the Word of God. The Word of God. What a wonderful phrase. The Word of God. The communication of God. The expression of God. The revealing of the thoughts of God. That's what that means. The Word of God. The Word of God, of course, reveals God. The Word of God reveals the standards of God. The Word of God shows the way to God. The Word of God instructs one how to live. In fact, the Word of God is sufficient to regulate every aspect of our lives. The Word of God. The Word of God is designed for specific purposes, God purposes. And it is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to bring about these purposes. The Word of God is designed and used for giving spiritual life. This is taught plainly throughout God's Word. The Word of God is designed and used for supporting and sustaining spiritual life. The Word of God is designed and used for promoting growth in spiritual things. And for producing and increasing faith. The Word of God is designed and used for converting souls, converting lives, and for bringing illumination and making wise, and bringing cleansing to heart and life. The Word of God. The Word of God is designed and used to give guidance. It is designed and used to give protection. The Word of God is designed and used to expose sin. And it is designed and used to convict of sin and to admonish and reprove of sin. The Word of God is designed and used to restrain the sinful tendencies of God's people. The Word of God is designed and used to exhort the people of God. To provoke and to stimulate the people of God. The Word of God is designed and used to produce hope and to bring comfort and to bring relief and to rejoice the hearts of God's people and even equip them in the service of the Lord. But what we read here in Acts 19 and verse 20, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. What this is saying is this Word of God was active in the city of Ephesus. It was acting in a very powerful way. Oh, how we need that today. The Word of God is a storehouse of inexhaustible wealth. It is a fountain that cannot be drawn dry. It is an unfailing resource. And so that we can better comprehend the design and use of the Word of God throughout the Bible, it is likened to such things as fire. Jeremiah 23 and 29. It's likened unto a hammer in that same verse. It's likened unto seed in 1 Peter 1, verse 23. To a lamp in Psalm 119, in verse 11, or verse 105. To a sword in Ephesians 6, in verse 17. To a mirror in James 1, in verse 25. And to food in Hebrews chapter 5. The Word of God. Remember what we're talking about here. The Word of God. Now this Word of God has an inward place within the child of God. What is within us is what motivates us to our way of living. The Word of God is within us. The psalmist stated in Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Paul instructed the church of Colossae in Colossians 3 and verse 16. He said, "Let," or allow, something we do. Let the word of Christ dwell, abide continually in you. And he said of the church of Thessalonica that they had received the word of God which effectually worketh in you. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Each of those verses draws a sharp contrast to what Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 8 and verse 37. He said, notice if you turn there, John chapter 8, verse 37. "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me." That was their behavior. "Ye seek to kill me because..." Okay, now we're going to be given a reason for their behavior. "Ye seek to kill me" is their behavior. "Because my word hath no place in you." That's the reason for many people's behavior. The word of God has no place in them. Also, we learn from the verses prior that we referred to prior to John 8:37 that for the child of God, there is an inward place for the word of God. From what we read of the word of God, what we have seen that it is designed for and used for, we are in desperate need for the Word of God to be in us. That's the only way it'll make a difference. It has to be in us. Like the Thessalonians, it needs to be in us working effectually, functioning within according to its design, working and functioning in our hearts, working and functioning in our thoughts, working and functioning in our memory, working and functioning in our conscience, working and functioning in our affections and in our wills. We need the Word of God working and functioning in us. Again, what is working within motivates a way of living. It is the force behind a way of living. Consider the text. "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Consider that in the light of what the word of God is. We've already briefly stated that. And consider it in the light that it dwells within the child of God. What we read in our text needs to be so within each one of us. "So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." For this to be so, there must be an initial receiving of it. You cannot have it in you if you have not received it. So there has to be an initial receiving of the Word of God, but that's not all. There has to be a continual receiving of the Word of God. A continual attention to it. A continual honoring of it. A continual believing what it says. A continual trust. A continual love for it. And a continual submission to it. So mightily, the Word of God needs to dwell within us in a mighty way. In a mighty way. Notice the first word of our text there in verse 20. So. It's an adverb used to emphasize and express great extent. So mightily. Mighty to a great degree. Mighty to a great extent. This was true in the city of Ephesus. The Word of God was mighty to a great extent in that city. But it needs to be so within us. We desperately need the Word of God in us to be a powerful, vigorous, dynamic force in our lives. That it would be a powerful influence in our lives. The Word of God dwelling in us so mightily that it would be a force, that it would be an influence upon our thinking. We need that today. There is so much that feeds warped, sinful thinking. We need the Word of God in us in a mighty way, with a mighty force and influence upon our thinking. A mighty force and influence upon our opinions. You know, when people express their opinions and they're contrary to the Word of God, something's wrong. I'm talking about God's people. The truth is, your political opinions ought to line up with the Word of God. Your views ought to line up with the Word of God. We need the Word of God to be a force and an influence upon our opinions, upon our views, and upon our attitudes so mightily. Oh, that the Word of God would be within us, having a mighty force and influence upon our attitude, upon our outlook, upon our memory. A lot of things we like to forget. And I believe the Word of God helps us forget them when it's working in our lives. We need this Word of God to have a mighty force and influence upon our conscience. That is, you can't get too far without God's, the influence and the force of God's Word pricking your conscience so mightily. We need it. The influence of the Word of God upon our affections, upon our wills. We need the Word of God in us mightily working what it was designed to do. The Word of God in a mighty way had an impact and left an impression upon the city of Ephesus. And it was manifested by a change of lifestyle. They had a bonfire in Ephesus, and they burned those things that were contrary to the Word of God. There was a manifest change in their lives. Oh, we need that today. We need the Word of God in us in a mighty way, leaving an impact, an impression upon every area of our lives. But notice, so mightily grew. The Word of God needs to dwell within in a growing way. What happened in Ephesus needs to be constant within us. So mightily grew the Word of God. Notice that the Word of God not only grew, but it mightily grew. It mightily grew. That is, it grew in a very powerful and vigorous manner in the city of Ephesus. Do we not need the Word of God to mightily grow? To grow in a powerful and vigorous manner in our own hearts and in our own lives. Notice, not only did it mightily, not only mightily grew, but so mightily grew. That is, it grew in an immeasurable, an incalculable way. Oh, how we need for the Word of God within us to be always growing in a mighty way, always increasing, always sprouting up, always bursting forth and thriving in our hearts and in our thoughts and in our memories and in our conscience and in our affections and in our will. And when that happens, just as there was a manifest change in Ephesus, there will be a manifest change in our lives. Oh, we need the Word of God within us, mightily growing, spreading itself in a mighty way, extending itself to every nook and cranny of our being. That is what we need within us individually. I ask you tonight, how much area does the Word of God cover in your life? Is it growing? Is it sprouting up in your minds? Is it always sprouting up and bursting forth in your conscience? Just how much area does the Word of God cover in our lives? It needs to be growing in such a mighty way that it covers every area of our lives. Too many people have too many opinions that are in line with the godless. We need the Word of God to cover every area of our lives. Is it growing within you? Is it spreading within you? Is it extending its influence in your hearts? How much influence does the Word of God have upon your heart? Do you find it to be growing in its influence in your thoughts, Do you find yourself thinking more godly things? Is the Word of God spreading? What about our memories, our conscience, our affections, and our wills? Then notice also, so mightily grew the Word of God. In Ephesus, the Word of God was in a mighty way growing and prevailed. It was growing in a mighty way, and it was prevailing. It was prevailing over the wicked lifestyle of a city. And oh, how we need this individually. For the Word of God to be within us. I guess that would be the first question. Is the Word of God within you? Does it have a place in your heart? That's where we have to begin. You can answer that question in your own heart and mind. And then if it does have a place, is it mighty? Is it a force? Is it mightily growing? Do you find it to be sprouting up within you? Do you find it to be bursting forth in such a way that it prevails? That is, it triumphs. It conquers. It overcomes. Anything and everything that is contrary to God in our lives. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. It needs to be prevailing in our hearts. That's the only way that you can keep your heart right. The Word of God must be prevailing in our hearts. The Word of God must be prevailing in our thoughts, our opinions, our reasonings. It needs to be prevailing in our memories, prevailing over our conscience, prevailing in our affections, and in our wills. We need this Word of God to be sprouting up and bursting forth, prevailing over hardness of heart. We all have a tendency for our hearts to get hard. But oh, that the Word of God would be within us in such a way that it prevails over hardness of heart. That it prevails over indifference. That the Word of God would prevail over sinful pride. That it would prevail over stubbornness, that it would prevail over our rebellions, that it would prevail over our bitterness, and that it would prevail over our lusts and our selfishness and our sinful feelings and our temptations, our discouragement, our covetous and foolish ways. Oh, that the Word of God would be within us, growing mightily and prevailing over the sin that's in our lives. Again, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. In Ephesus, The Word of God manifested its power, manifested its authority, manifested its rule, its sway and influence. And it did so in a very visible fashion. Again, verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought forth their books together, burned them before all the men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. God's word was working in a powerful way. How do we know? By what the people did. You know, if the word of God would mightily grow in a prevailing way within us, oh, what a Baptist bonfire we could have. These people were serious. That is brought out by the fact that they burned what was worth 50,000 pieces of silver. I can remember back in the 70s preaching against rock music and some other things. And young people bringing, at that time, 8-tracks and records. Some of you don't even know what that is. Burning them. Destroying them. Parents were livid. Livid. If they could have, they would have killed me on the spot. Do you know how much money that cost? You get serious about serving God, and it doesn't matter. We need a Baptist bonfire. There are people who have no business having cell phones. Now, there you go. You're against cell phones. That's not what I said. Listen again. There are people who have no business having them. They are a hindrance in their lives. That goes for computers. That goes for televisions. And if that be the case, it needs to be thrown in the fire. Well, you know how much that costs? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. Well, just give it to somebody else. No, you need to destroy it. We need a Baptist bonfire where people can throw their short dresses and their short skirts and their low tops and burn them. Get rid of them. And whatever else gets in the way of serving God. Whatever else is contrary to the Lord. There they were. They were burning things that were very valuable. Why were they burning them? Because they were contrary to God. They would be a hindrance in the service of God. There are individuals, some that need to go home. You need to set a fire in your yard, or you need to throw some things in the fireplace. Get rid of it. This shows the seriousness. It shows that the Word of God is working in our lives. If all we're concerned about is that TV cost me $2,000, you'll never get right with God. And I'm not saying that watching television is necessarily wrong. But there are some people that have no business having one because they can't control it. They have no business having one. And that goes for We could go on all night, and maybe we should. But they had a fire, and it manifested the things they were burning, manifested that the Word of God was mightily working, that the Word of God was mightily growing, and that the Word of God was prevailing in a mighty way. A lot of people that need to throw their opinions in the fire and their human reasonings in the fire. Destroy them. Get rid of them. And your covetous ways and foolish ways. It needs to be destroyed. It needs to be gotten rid of. And that's how we know that the Word of God was working in a mighty way. Oh, I long to see. I long to see the Word of God in the hearts of God's people mightily growing and prevailing, continually growing, prevailing over every area of their life, the Word of God sprouting forth in their lives. This is what we need. This is what marriages need. This is what homes need. For husbands and wives and children to have the Word of God in them mightily growing in a prevailing way. That'll fix it. Nothing else will. Everything else is a temporary fix. This will fix the problem. Oh, this is what we need. This is what we need tonight. So I ask you, is the Word of God within your heart? Is it mighty? If it's mighty, you can't get away from it. It's always there. Something is terribly wrong. If you go home tonight, you set your Bible on a table, and the next time you pick it up is Wednesday. You're not right with God. You don't know my heart. I know the actions show the heart. You cannot possibly be right with God and have a wrong attitude toward the Word of God. But it's not enough to just read the Word of God. It needs to be in us in a mighty way, mightily growing and prevailing. Prevailing. Yes, we live in sinful times. We live in difficult times. But do you realize that if the Word of God is in us in a mighty way and growing in a mighty way and prevailing, it's not getting harder. The Word of God is enabling us to conquer these things. We need this Word of God in us. You can come and you can sit in church. You can be faithful to every service and you can listen to the Word of God. But there is a big difference between listening to the Word of God and the message of God burning in your heart. Where's the fire? Where's the burning? Jeremiah, remember, he got discouraged and he basically said, I'm not going to preach anymore. But that didn't last long. Because the message was burning in his heart. And that's what we need. It's like the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. Did not our heart burn within us when he spake to us? How wide of an area does the Word of God cover in your life? It ought to cover every area. It ought to cover your thoughts. It ought to cover your attitude. It ought to cover your will. It ought to cover, it ought to sprout up. It ought to burst forth in your home. It ought to sprout up and burst forth in your marriage. It ought to sprout up and burst forth in raising your children. I'm talking about every area. The work life, every area. We need the Word of God bursting forth. If you look within the hearts of many, you would find the weeds are growing. The weeds are growing. The weeds are sprouting. The weeds are bursting forth. But where is the Word of God? So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Is it a dynamic force, an influence in your life? How much force does the word of God have in your life? You open this book and you sit down with somebody. You're going to show them what the Word of God says. And they say, well, that's your opinion. Black and white. Plain as day. That's your opinion. In other words, plain English, I don't want to hear it. Keep it to yourself. How sad. Especially when that's God's people. Oh, that the Word of God would be in us. And I believe that if you're saved, it is in you somewhere. Oh, it may, through the years, weeds may have grown over it and choked it. But it's there. But it's not enough for it to just be there. It needs to be mightily growing. So that it prevails, so that it conquers and overcomes our life. And just think, if every member of Home Baptist Church, if that was so, of each one, it could be said, people could look at Home Baptist Church, so mightily grew the Word of God. And prevailed. If that could happen in a city, a wicked city, it can happen in a church. And it can happen in an individual's life. And that's where it begins. It begins with our lives. That's where it begins. God help us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and